Translation by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. This is the nature of the mind of an uncommon personality. Sometimes it is soft like a flower, but sometimes it is as hard as a thunderbolt. Please repeat after me. This is the nature of the mind of an uncommon personality. Sometimes it is soft like a flower, but sometimes it is as hard as a thunderbolt. Purport by Srila Prabhupada is a short purport, two sentences. The softness of a flower and the hardness of a thunderbolt are reconciled in the behavior of a great personality. The following quotation from Uttara Ram Charita 2.7 explains this behavior. One may also consult the Madhya Leela, 3rd chapter, verse 212. Since Srila Prabhupada has asked us to consult, I think we should do that also as part of the purport. So this is Madhya Leela, chapter 3, chapter entitled Lord Chaitanya at the House of Advaita Acharya, text number 212. Nirapekshahana Prabhu Sringrachai Leela Kandita Kandita Acharya Pashacha Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unaffected. He left swiftly and Advaita Acharya followed him, weeping. So the context of this verse is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas and he's leaving and all of his associates are devastated. And as it says here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unaffected. He left swiftly and Advaita Acharya followed him weeping. Purport. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains, the word nirapeksha means not being affected by anything material and remaining fixed in the service of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not very much care for the roaring tumult and cry at the house of Advaita Acharya, which he heard when he went starting for Jagannath Puri. Worldly moralists may criticize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for being very cruel, but the Lord did not care for such criticism. As the world teacher of this Krishna consciousness movement, he actually showed that a person seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness should not be affected by worldly affection. The best course is to engage in rendering service to the Lord and to become callous to material objectives. Externally, everyone is attached to material things. But if one becomes entangled in such things, he cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness should not care for the so-called morality of the material world, if that morality opposes the service of the Lord. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally shown, one cannot properly execute Krishna consciousness without being neutral. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranvalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Siti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Vashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the verse again. This is the nature of the mind of an uncommon personality. Sometimes it is soft like a flower, but sometimes it is as hard as a thunderbolt. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they are sweet, sometimes they are soft, and sometimes they are hard. Currently we are reading about the hard pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the context of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about to depart to South India for his tour of the South. As he is about to depart, all of his associates come to see Mahaprabhu off. One of Mahaprabhu's close associates, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being overcome by feelings of separation, he faints. Mahaprabhu, without a single pause, turns around and walks on his tour. And this is quite extraordinary. Because when there's an affectionate, deep relationship between two persons, and one of those personalities faints, one would think it'd be automatic that one would immediately show some concern, some care about the person who has fainted. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't demonstrate any of these sentiments. He simply turns and proceeds on his tour. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining that this is the nature of an uncommon personality. And there's two words used in this verse. Pushpasama means soft like a flower. And Vajramaya, hard as a thunderbolt. Most of us, we like to touch a soft flower. We like to smell a soft flower. We like to keep the company of a soft flower. But the hard thunderbolt, it invokes fear. It makes us shudder. It wants us to maintain a distance. We may want to appreciate but we'll appreciate from a distance. This is our nature. So this hard pastime of the Lord, this hard nature from the Lord, where is it coming from? We know from the various Bhakti Shastras that the heart of the Lord is soft. The nature of the Lord is soft. The lotus feet of the Lord is soft. The body of the Lord is soft. And the general nature, behavior of the Lord is soft. So where does this hard nature come from? What is the source of this hard nature? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the softness of a flower and the hardness of a thunderbolt can only be reconciled in the behavior of a great personality. Because softness and hardness, they are parallel opposites. They are contradictions. In a normal sense, there's no possibility to reconcile such contrasts. But Srila Prabhupada says, but it can be reconciled in the behavior of a great personality. So this is very interesting, and it's also very relevant to us. Because sometimes when we read about the hard pastimes of the Lord, how Lord Ram seemingly, unfeelingly dismissed, banished Sita. How Lord Ram, when Sita came from being kidnapped from Ram, he made her walk through fire. How Srila Prabhupada behaves sometimes so hard. Sometimes when we read Srila Prabhupada's purports, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. We read Srila Prabhupada's purports, we think, oh Srila Prabhupada, you are being quite hard here. You've been quite hard. So until we can reconcile the softness and the hardness, we'll have the tendency to put distance between us and the Lord, to put distance between us and great Vaishnavas, to put distance between us and the spiritual master. Sometimes when the guru is very heavy, some disciple will say, I think I'm more comfortable serving from a distance. You know, I can't deal with the hardness. So in our spiritual lives, it's quite important and relevant for us to reconcile this hardness and the softness in the behavior and pastimes of the Lord, and also in the behavior and pastimes of the great spiritual personalities. Last week, Kartik Chandra Prabhu on Sunday gave a beautiful class, and he quoted the Brahmara Gita, where Srimati Radharani, talking to the bee, declares how hard-hearted Krishna is. And she quotes three examples to evidence Krishna's hard heart. Can any of you all remember from last Sunday's class which were the three instances she quoted? Yes. Yes. So the three examples which one Mataji gave, the first one was how, while in hiding, he cowardly killed Vali. Didn't give him a fair chance for a match. How he robbed Bali Maharaj of all of his land and then sent him to the heavenly hellish planets. How, you know, a woman approached him innocently for marriage. And what did he do in return? Cut off her nose. Cut off her ear. So hard-hearted. Srimati Radharani is saying, this Krishna is. So I'll speak. I think Kartik Chandra Prabhu didn't have sufficient time to speak, but we'll speak how this so-called hardness is reconciled. So in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to quote two pastimes which will help us understand how this hard and softness is reconciled. And the first pastime, which is from the second chapter of the Antya Leela, this one Mahaprabhu was really, really hard. Really hard. Anyone know which pastime I'm talking about? Yes. The chastisement of Junior Haridas. And the pastime is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited by Bhagavan Acharya to take prasad at his place. And Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation. But Bhagavan Acharya also invited Junior Haridas, because he was a very good singer, to come. But while the preparations were going on, Bhagavan Acharya realized that he didn't have sufficient rice. He needed one mana of rice more. So he sent Junior Haridas to the house of Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister, Madhavi Dasi, used to live with Sikhi Mahiti. She was elderly, a very advanced Vaishnav, a very close associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Junior Haridas, he went and he got one mana of rice, brought it to Bhagavan Acharya's place. Bhagavan Acharya cooks it. The Lord is offers it. Lord is offered the prasad. Lord relishes it. Then the Lord says to Bhagavan Acharya, this rice that you cooked today was special. It's very, very nice rice. How did you get such rice? And Bhagavan Acharya says, oh, this came from Madhavi Dasi. Oh, and how did you get it from Madhavi Dasi? I sent Junior Haridas to go get the rice. Mahaprabhu was quiet, silent. After taking prasad, he went to his residence. He called his servant Govinda. And he said, Govinda, from this day onwards, I do not want to see the face of Junior Haridas. Don't bring him near me again. But why, Mahaprabhu? Any renunciant who associates intimately with a woman is a hypocrite. And I will have nothing to do with any such hypocrites. And Mahaprabhu maintained this hard attitude. Junior Haridas would go and try to see from a distance if Mahaprabhu would show some sign of relentness. No. He would go with Mahaprabhu to the Jagannath temple and he would stand a distance, just waiting for Mahaprabhu to show some relentness. No. 1 year passed. No, sorry. Not yet. Thereafter, Paramananda Puri went to Mahaprabhu and said, Mahaprabhu, You know, this is just an innocent incident. Huh? There was nothing in it. Please forgive Junior Haridas. And Mahaprabhu became angry. He said, if you carry on like this, I'm going to leave Jagannath Puri and I'm going to go to Alalanath. I'll just leave. And he was about to leave and they had to pacify him. 1 year passed and Junior Haridas waited and waited for Mahaprabhu to relent. There was not even a sign. So after 1 year, Junior Haridas says, my life is finished. I've lost the mercy of Mahaprabhu. In the middle of the night, he offered his obeisances from a distance and off he went to the Triveni. Went to the Triveni and what did he do at the Triveni? He committed suicide. He drowned. He drowned. And so news reached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, Mahaprabhu after 1 year inquired, so where's Junior Haridas? And the devotee said, Junior Haridas, he went to the Triveni, we didn't see him ever again. And Mahaprabhu, what did he do? He smiled. And the devotees were shocked. He's smiling. And then the devotees broke the news. When Srivas Thakur and Sivananda Sen came, they wanted to know, where's Junior Haridas? And they gave news that Junior Haridas had committed suicide. And then again, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these details, he smiled in a pleased mood and said, if with sensual intentions one looks at women, this is the only process of atonement. So hard. Not relenting. But although Mahaprabhu was so hard, what was happening in the background, unknown to everyone? In the night, Junior Haridas would come in the body of a Gandharva and he would sing to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu would be very pleased. Very pleased. So what do we see happening here? We see externally the more the Lord is showing a type of mood. But internally is maintaining a softness. So why does he maintain this external mood of hardness? In the purport that Srila Prabhupada referred to, Prabhupada says in the concluding statement there that without being neutral, no one can maintain religious principles. It's the duty of the Lord to maintain religious principles. It is the duty of the Lord to enunciate religious principles. Dharmam tu shakshad, bhagavat pranitam, navai vidur, rasayo naapi devaha, na siddha mukhya asura manusyaha, kutana vidyadhara, charanadhayaha. This is from the 6th canto, 3rd chapter, 19th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very famous verse, Srila Prabhupada always quotes, dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles. Nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the Asuras, ordinary human beings, Vijayadharas and Charanas. So the Lord is in this difficult position. He has to enunciate, he has to maintain religious principles. But at the same time, he has his affection for his devotees. So he has to behave in a way. And we can see without being neutral, it's not possible. The Bhagavad Gita is a clear example. Arjuna, he had to fight for Dharma. But because he couldn't be neutral, he felt this affection for his family members. He couldn't fight. So in the same way, the Lord was a sannyasi. When he left Jagannath Puri and Advaita Acharya and everyone cried. And he didn't blink an eyelid and he moved. And here when Sarvabhaumacharya fainted, he showed no emotion, he moved. Because that is the dharma of a sannyasi. That is the dharma of a sannyasi. And the Lord has to maintain the religious principles. So the second pastime I wanted to quote was from the 9th chapter of the Antya Leela. And the pastime is entitled the Savings of Gopinath Patanayaka. Maybe someone can look it up and tell me. I can't remember off my hand. Anyway, this pastime is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very intimate associate living in Alalanath. And his name was Bhavananda Rai. And Bhavananda Rai had 5 sons. Ramananda Rai, Gopinath Patanayaka, Kalanidhi, Suhanidhi, and Vaninath Nayak. 5 sons. So Mahaprabhu was peacefully residing in Jagannath Puri when one day a whole group of servants and family members of Gopinath Patanayaka arrived on the scene. And they were all very distressed. And what was the reason for their distress? Gopinath Patanayaka was about to be sentenced to death. He was on the Kanga. And the Kanga those days, this is how they would sentence people to death. They would have a place where there were swords with sharp tips pointing upwards. There would be a platform and the person would be thrown on the sharp swords. That was called the Kanga. So news arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your very dear devotees, Gopinath Patanayaka is about to be sentenced to death. He's your very dear devotee. Please save him. So Mahaprabhu says, what's the problem? What has he done? Our Gopinath is the collector for the king. And in one of his collections, he was 200,000 pahanas short. Pahanas of conch shells short. Why was he short? He misappropriated the funds for his own means. So Mahaprabhu said, what can be done? He should pay it back. Or he can't pay it back. And by the way, he tried to pay it back by giving back 10 of his, or 12 of his horses. But the prince, the son of the king, had underestimated the price. And the prince always had this habit of turning his neck like this and looking at the sky. And when he gave to a lower price, Gopinath Patanayaka said, that's not a fair price. I am not like someone my horses are not like that who turn their head and look at the sky. And the prince got so angry. He said, sentence him to death. So they went back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The situation was getting critical. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they said, they came to him and said, Mahaprabhu, please, you've got to save your devotee. Mahaprabhu said, what can be done? What can be done? He has to pay the consequences. And finally, Kashi Mishra came and pleaded to the Lord. And at that time, the Lord had enough time. He said, I have had enough of people coming and disturbing me with all of these problems. I am leaving now to Alalanath. And here we have a clue of Mahaprabhu's inner mood. Why? Who lived in Alalanath? Bhavananda Rai and his whole family lived in Alalanath. And Mahaprabhu wants to go away from this all, but where is he going to? To the very village where, the very place where Bhavananda Rai and his family reside. Anyway, as the pastimes go, Mahaprabhu, he did not want to intervene. In fact, one stage he got so angry, he said, what do you want me to do? You want me to go and beg? To go beg at the king to pardon this person? I can't do that. I can't do that. So Mahaprabhu again was very hard. Very, very hard. Anyway, by the intervention of the devotees, they approached King Prataparudra, and he, knowing how affectionate Mahaprabhu was to Bhavananda Rai and his family, he excused Gopinath Patanayaka. He was taken away from the Kanga. Not only was he taken away from the Kanga, he was absolved of all of his debt. Not only was he absolved of all of his debt, but his salary was doubled. And this news reached Mahaprabhu that, this has happened. And he says, what have you done? You've made me intervene. And anyway, Gopinath Patanayaka, after he was freed, the first thing he came, he was given even a silken shawl, doubled his salary, absolved all his debts. And he came straight to Mahaprabhu and he offered his full obeisances. And he said, Mahaprabhu, I didn't want all of this. I didn't want all of this. I've realized how materialistic I've become. I simply want to take the renounced order of life. And Mahaprabhu said, but who will look after the family of Bhavananda Rai? No, you can't become renounced. And he said, only one thing. Don't misappropriate funds anymore. And then there was a beautiful reunion between the Lord and Gopinath Patanayaka and all of the devotees. So what we see in these pastimes of the Lord, even in the three examples that we quoted, where Srimati Radharani had quoted that Krishna is so hard-hearted. What happened to Vali? The Lord came, sat next to him while he's about to leave, gave him all of the instructions, freed him of all of his reactions, and bestowed his mercy so that his eyes could be fixed on the Lord at the most critical time. In the case of Bali Maharaj, although he stripped him of everything, sent him to hell, what did the Lord do? He became the doorkeeper of the same Bali. And Shupanaka, who he cut off her nose and ears, what did he do for her? She came back as Kubja in Krishna Leela. And Krishna, knowing the mind of Kubja, he went. She had a desire to spend time with him. He spent time with her. He straightened the back and he fulfilled all of her desires. So externally, it may appear that the Lord and His pure devotees, they are hard. But you can't get something hard coming from something soft. The Lord is completely soft. The spiritual master is completely soft. The pure devotees are completely soft. So we should never mistake that when we see hardness coming from them, that it should create some distance between us and the Lord. That hardness is a sign of mercy. And this Prabhupada says, the flower and the hardness of a thunderbolt are reconciled. It's only reconciled on the basis of love. The hardness comes from love. And the softness comes from love. And because both come from love, they both can be reconciled. And this is very nicely displayed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the 8th stanza of the Shishashtakam. Ashlasya vaparatam pinashtumam adarshanam marma atam karotava yata tatava vidhatu lampato mat prana nathas tusa eva na paraha. I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. And he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken-hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this. Unconditional love based on the faith that the beloved also has the same unconditional love, and whatever may be there externally, any hardness, that does not detract one's love and devotion from the Lord. I thought I would also just say in conclusion for today's class a few words about Veerabhadra Gosai. Today is the appearance day of Veerabhadra Gosani. So some of y'all may know who this great personality is, some of y'all may not know. So I will read one verse and one purport, the purport from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which speaks about Veerabhadra Gosani. So this is from the Adi Leela, chapter 11, text number 8. Translation. After Nityananda Prabhu, the greatest branch is Veerabhadra Gosani, who also has innumerable branches and sub-branches. It is not possible to describe them all. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Veerabhadra Gosani was the direct son of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and a disciple of Janava Devi. His real mother was Vasudha. So we know that Sri Nityananda Prabhu had two wives, Vasudha Devi and Janava Devi. So Veerabhadra was the son of Vasudha and Lord Nityananda. And uniquely, he took initiation from the other wife, Janava Devi. In the Gaurad Ganadesh Deepika, he is mentioned as being an incarnation of Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Therefore, Veerabhadra Gosani is non-different from Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In a village of the name Jamatpura in the district of Ugli, Veerabhadra Gosani had a disciple named Yadunath Acharya, who had two daughters, a real daughter named Srimati and a foster daughter named Narayani. Both these daughters married, and they are mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnaka 13th wave. Veerabhadra Gosani are three disciples who are celebrated as his sons, Gopijana Vallabha, Ramakrishna and Ramachandra. The youngest Ramachandra belonged to the Sandila dynasty and had the name Vatavyala. He established his family at Kandadaha, and its members are known as the Goswamis at Kandadaha. The eldest disciple, Gopijana Vallabha, was a resident of a village known as Lata, near the Manakara railway station in the district of Burdan. So, dear devotees, don't switch off when you hear all of these dynasties and the railways and the villages. There's a purpose behind it. What's the purpose? Srila Prabhupada wants us to one day go there. Find out, where is this Manakara railway station? Where is the district of Burdwan? Go there and take the darshan of the descendants of Veerabhadra Goswami. The second Ramakrishna lived near Maladaha in a village named Gayesapur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur notes that since these three disciples belonged to different gotras or dynasties and also had different surnames and lived in different places, it is not possible to accept them as real sons of Veerabhadra Gosani. Ramachandra had four sons, of whom the eldest was Radha Madhava, whose third son was named Yadavendra. Yadavendra's son was Nanda Kishore. His son was Nidhi Krishna. His son was Chaitanya Chanda. His son was Krishna Mohana. His son was Jag Mohana. His son was Vrajanath. And his son was Shamala Goswami. This is the genealogical table given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for the descendants of Veerabhadra Gosani. So we can contact any of the branches or the sub-branches or the sub-sub-branches of Veerabhadra Goswami. We'll be unlimitedly benedicted. Srila Veerabhadra Goswami Gosani ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanande. Any questions, comments or reflections by anyone? Yes, Prabhu. Srinivas. I don't know. I don't think it's a mic, so maybe you can speak and I'll repeat.
And the Muslims, they were trying to take over Eka Chakra. They were trying to take over it. And he was preaching in that area. So they bought him some untouchable food like cow flesh. They covered up it to offer it to him. So when he opened the plate, he turned into flowers. So from now the Muslims could see he was a great saint, and they left Eka Chakra alone.
Wonderful, very nice pastime. Hare Krishna. Thank you for sharing the Srinivas Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question.
You spoke about being neutral. Yes. I didn't really understand what you meant by that. Do you mind clarifying that, if that's okay?
About being neutral?
Neutral, yeah.
Yes. Neutral means not taking sides. When we are in material consciousness, there's always dualities. You know, one is my family member, one is not my family member. This is good, this is bad. And we are from experience, you know, we make distinctions in so many facets of our life. I like this person, I don't like that person. So neutral means not having any particular affiliation which will affect one's judgment. Especially in the context of preserving Dharma. So the neutral, the term neutral that's used here, is meaning that if there's a principle of Dharma, right, there is nothing from a material point of view, that will waver one in maintaining that dharma. And if one, like Arjuna, he couldn't be neutral because of his affiliations, family, bodily affiliations. So in the context of what we've discussed today, neutral means that. Being unwavering in maintaining dharma. Meaning that one is not influenced by any of one's upadis, one's material designations, or one's material attachments. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
We spoke about the Lord, that the Lord can be very soft in heart, and the heart very soft, but in action he could be very hard. So action, action, hard, but in the soft, very, very, in the heart, very soft. But how about when the spiritual master is also like that? Because the spiritual master can also be soft in the heart, but hard in action, and hard in giving instructions that sometimes are for a lifetime. How to find the determination to follow those instructions year after year?
Yes. So if I understand your question, you are asking how we should see the hardness of the spiritual master?
Yeah, like sometimes the spiritual master could be, it's always soft in heart.
Yes.
But in instruction, he could be very hard.
Yes.
And could give instructions that are like difficult instructions and are for a lifetime.
Yes.
And how to find the determination, the belief that we need to do that all our lives.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm talking about my personal experience.
Yes. Well, there's possibly two ways, and some of the other devotees can also feel free to answer. The first is to see the heaviness of the instruction or the chastisement as coming from the spiritual master's love for us. You know, the hardness and the softness is both a different face of love. So in terms of the determination to follow a difficult instruction of the spiritual master, we can only pray for the mercy of the spiritual master to empower us. Because Prabhupada always said, you know, when the spiritual master gives an instruction, he empowers one also at the same time to follow that instruction. So we must just be, our only task is to make ourselves the proper recipients of that empowerment. You know, that means we must be the proper, you know, receptacle to allow, to receive that instruction and the empowerment. Actually, Srila Prabhupada writes about that in one purport. I don't have it, but I can share that with you, where he says, you know, that the empowerment comes with the instruction, but one has to be in a right mood to receive that. Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your nice class, Prabhuji. I had a question about this being soft like a flower and hard as a thunderbolt, and how it's how in the verse it says the nature of the mind of an uncommon personality. Sort of referring to the Lord or someone transcendental or a pure devotee. But how do we, my question I think is, how do we see the difference when someone who's maybe bipolar or someone who, I can give an example, just the other day I was hard like a thunderbolt to my daughter. I shouted at her, got so angry because she did something wrong. But then 2 minutes later I was like, oh, I love you, my sweetheart, let me buy you chocolate, you know, because I was feeling guilty. But that's not coming from an uncommon personality. It's just very immaterial. And I was angry. So that I was obviously in the lower modes. So how do we compare this soft thunderbolt, hard, soft rose, hard thunderbolt of a transcendental person and one who is in the lower modes?
Yes. Good question. In the Vaishnava etiquette course, it states there the qualifications for one to correct others. One of the qualifications is one must be genuinely desirous to help someone. Like sometimes even in our ISKCON society, we have this situation where, you know, senior devotees or other devotees, they just want to blast. You know, they call it blast. They just blast the younger devotees. Yeah? So the only criteria to reconcile is love. Like you mentioned the example of your daughter. Because it's based on love, that hardness is reconciled. But if someone is hard and there's no love, there's no desire to want to help that person, then that is rejected. It's a polarity. It's a contradiction. We cannot accept such hardness because it's not based on love. And therefore, Vaishnava culture says, only correct. Look into your heart first. If you're genuinely desirous of helping that person, then you can correct. Then you can be hard with them. Otherwise, don't. Does that answer your question, Prabhu? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, you have a question? There's one.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class. My question is, how do we increase our humbleness in order to accept the hard instructions either given by our spiritual master or hard instructions in the scriptures? How do we increase our humbleness in order to absorb them and follow them?
Okay, so your question is, how do we increase our humility so we can accept the hardness when we see it in scripture?
And our own humbleness, yes.
Yes. It actually comes through advancement. You know, the more advanced we become, then the more we can see everything in its proper perspective. And then we can pray also. I had a personal, in my own life, I experienced where I got some really hard instructions or was confronted by a hard situation, which I found really difficult to accept and assimilate, because the mind comes into place and it ruminates and you start feeling a victim, and also it takes you to a wrong space, isn't it, when you're there. When we pray, you know, we really pray hard, you know, that I'm not accepting this hardness in the right mood, the right mentality. Please, you know, help me, you know, the Lord within the heart, the spiritual master help. And then, by the mercy of the Lord, it will come. It'll come. Yeah, humility is something that's just comes with advancement. Yeah, so it'll take time, but it'll come. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. There's another question at the back.
Thank you very much. Very lovely class. And topical as well. I think it impacts on all of us as parents, as wife, as everything else, as husband. My question is actually on this soft as a flower and hard as is on the board. I quite like that. The only thing is that we're dealing with people. Uh-huh. When there's a broken relationship because you've been hard to the point of the other person doesn't understand where you're coming from. Yes, it's coming from love. Yes, it's coming from, I love you, I want you to do very well at school, I want you to do this, I want you to... But when you're dealing with other people, it's a different kettle of fish. I know you talk about humility. Yes, I love you, I care for you, I want the best for you. Might not be enough. You can lose your child or you can lose whatever. How do you deal with that as when it comes to that situation?
What you say is very true. You know, sometimes, you know, the person you're being hard with cannot accept it. And the distance comes. You know, the distance comes. If we look at the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, it happened where Srila Prabhupada was hard with disciples. They couldn't handle it. And they drifted away. Srila Prabhupada always kept the door open. And he would find some way to keep that door open. He would reach out to his disciples in some way so that they could see. And Prabhupada once said, you know, one of his disciples went away. And he said, every day I was praying, where is Raya Raman? Where is Raya Raman? When will he come back? So also if one prays, it may happen, but nothing is certain, isn't it, Mataji? Nothing is certain. We can only keep the door open, reach out as much as we can and pray. Otherwise, and, you know, just pray that there's some reconciliation.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. All right, I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Go Premanande. Hari Bol.